Welcome to my commentary on 1 Thessalonians. This section, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 states, Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we know Paul wrote this letter. Paul was the name he used in the Roman, Greek, Gentile world. Saul was his Hebrew name. A majority of scholars say this, that if you use the word Saul in Roman territory, in the Roman culture, Saul was an effeminate word, effeminate name. And for this reason, it might have been possible that Paul did not want to use his name Saul, so he used the name Paul. Paul means little or short. We know from history, or at least history tells us, that Paul was a short or little man of stature. Silas and Timothy also is with Paul as he is writing. Remember, Silas took Barnabas's place once Paul and Barnabas split. And Paul writes this letter to the church at Thessalonica. Now, I have come to not really like the word church, because our modern concept of church does not really fit the New Testament idea or concept of church. The word church here is translated from the Greek word ekklesia, and ekklesia was any group of people that was called out of the general population for a specific reason. When it comes to the believers in Jesus, the ekklesia was a called out people from the general public, of those who have handed their lives over to Jesus and were willing to serve him. Now, when Paul and other Jews use the word ekklesia, as they write in Greek, their foundation of the meaning of that word would come really from the Hebrew word synagogue, which is translated into synagogue, place where the Jews worship. Synagogue, it really means more than a place of worship. It means a community of God's people, a community of God's people that we first see when God called Abraham out of his homeland, away from his family who lived in Ur. The point here is that when God called Abraham out of his family, out of his land, his nation, to go someplace else, he was calling Abraham out of the general population in order for him to be the father of a family of people who would become a nation who would represent Yahweh to the nations of the world. Our foundation of church goes right back to Abraham. And when Paul or any of the Jews thought in terms of ecclesia or Hebrew, in particular synagogue, they would have thought of family, the family of God. They didn't think necessarily of a place. They thought of a group of people who were called out of the general population to be with their God, to represent their God to the nations of the world, and to be a community of people who would love, care for, support each other. The individual within the community of God's people, or at least the way it should have been in Old Testament times, was a theocratic socialism. God is the king of the socialistic society, family, or nation, where each individual could find any kind of support he needed within that community, whether it was moral support, financial support, any kind of support an individual would need would be found in the community of God's people. This is what our English word church used here really means. It does not mean the building down the street. It does not mean the ecclesiastical denominational structures that we see today. Paul goes on to say, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, on numerous occasions, always separates the Lord Jesus Christ from God the Father. They are one, yet since the incarnation, there is a separateness to Jesus and God that never existed prior to the incarnation. As I've said before, Jesus, because he loved us so much, altered the existence of who he is for eternity because of his love for us. He is no longer what he once was. And when we speak of Jesus, we speak of Jesus as being the Son of God. This is what Paul is saying here, God the Father. The God that we worship as Christians is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is his name. He is Lord and he is Christ. Christ meaning Messiah or Savior. He is the Lord of all things and he is our Savior. I grew up in the Free Methodist Church where their doctrine was accept Jesus as your Savior. At some later day, accept him as your Lord. Well, that's not the gospel. The gospel is this. You hand your life over to Jesus, who is Lord, and then he will save you. That's what's going on here. Verse 3 says, we always thank God for all of you, remembering you in our prayers. Paul, I believe, constantly was in a spirit of prayer. He may not have been on his knees. Obviously, he wasn't on his knees all the time. But his communion with the Lord was pretty much continuous. And from time to time, he would recall these people to the Lord. And the thing that he would call to his remembrance is found in the next verse. Verse 3. We continually remember before our God and Father three things, he says. Your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have three things. We have love, faith, and hope. Now these are pretty powerful, important words in the New Testament, but they're not the important words in this sentence. Evangelicals stress faith, hope, and love, but here, faith, hope, and love are foundational to something else. Faith is foundational to work. Like, because of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, these people, us too, should do work for Jesus. Work done apart from faith for Jesus will be burnt up in the fire of judgment, as Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 3. But works that are done from your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be rewarded for. Notice here that for those people who believe that James and Paul are conflicted with each other over faith and works, that is not the case. We see it here. Then we see your labor prompted by love. Labor and works are similar. It's not just faith in Jesus that prompts good works. It's the love of God flowing through us that causes us to labor to serve others for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly, our hope produces endurance. These guys needed endurance because they were under severe persecution. a riot broke out just because of Paul being in their town. So what was this hope in reference for? Well, I believe the hope was in reference to the resurrection of the dead, of them, of their mortal physical bodies at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope in New Testament terms is in association with the return of Jesus. And so we come to one of the main themes of these two letters. Paul continues to say in verse 4, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you." Now, does that hint at predestination? I don't think so. God has chosen all human beings to be saved. Only those who repent, hand their lives over to him, are saved. And in that sense, they are chosen. Verse 5, "Because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." So Paul preached the gospel, he taught the gospel, but with the gospel there was a demonstration of the power of God through the Holy Spirit, whether it was through miracles or healings or just the giving of the Holy Spirit to these new believers. That would be a big one. Paul also spoke with conviction. Evangelicals should know. Evangelicals of old did know and did speak with conviction. I tend to see less conviction in our day. Paul goes on to say, "You know how we lived among you for your sake." The point here is that Paul did his best not to impose on the people he was witnessing to. He received very little money from people because he did not want to put a burden on him. This also means that these people saw the lifestyle that Paul lived. He was honest. He was truthful. He was a righteous man. He walked rightly before the Lord and before people. He was a man of truth. He would not compromise the truth, whatever the cost was. So all of who Paul became post-conversion, these people saw in his life, and they knew with certainty, with clarity, that Paul was a man of God, and that's what he means here. We will continue verse 6 in the next section.